It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. It is the first official weekend of bow season. I can looking across the studio, and Bob's neck's swelling up as we speak. So he's about to get in a rut, if you know what I mean. But it's tailgating season too. There's a whole lot going on in the fall, and which if this is your first time listening, you'll figure out that the fall is our favorite time of year as a grilling guy. So I'm Joppin. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Thanks, Joppin. You are right on everything you said. My neck is swelling. I smell like musk, but no doe urine.
Right?
I have my game cam up, and life is good again.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, on air, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think of that?
Wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Put me on the spot for what? I don't feel it yet.
October 22nd.
Yep.
It's a Friday.
Okay.
I know what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
You're going to deer camp with me.
On October 22nd. That would be the only weekend in October that I don't have anything going on.
Oh,
so it
lucky.
Sounds like I do now.
Lucky.
Yeah, right. I may have to clear that one with the bride. You know, I'm still a relative newlywed, and so we've got, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but after the show's done today, I'm headed to Shartucky Bow Camp, and that's not really a bow camp, it's a beer camp. And I'm just a camp cook. So,
well, that's why the other thing I want to talk to you about.
Right. that's exactly
I know
it.
You'll be back there tending the fire.
Right. And then the 30th, I'm doing a Michigan State tailgate.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
So I'm sandwiching the weekends in between there. Hey, my pool's still open, so I got to figure out sometime to get that bad boy closed, too. You know,
got mine closed Thursday.
Yeah, right. I'm getting her done. Exactly. But it's way overdue. So, you know what? It's the fall time of the year. There's hunting, there's fishing, there's all kinds of stuff going on, and everybody needs equipment too, right?
Yes.
When you do that kind of stuff. So join us a little later in the show. We're going to have Merle Shoemaker from Al and Bob Sports. He is the ultimate sportsman and is going to talk to us about a lot of really cool stuff.
And they are sportsmen helping sportsmen.
Serving them, as I heard. Yeah.
And that too.
Yeah. But anyway, so we'll be talking to Merle in a bit. But this later today... I'm headed down to, as I said, my beer camp, which will be comprised of, the reason it's beer camp and not bow camp is because the wives come along, okay? And this is
right.
This is just a barn party. This is just a barn party is all it is, but it's the ceremonial start of the bow season every year for us. So I'm bringing down something that you'll see a picture of after I use it, is there's a gentleman that we're going to talk to next week because he's loaning me a grill on a trailer that is 7 foot long bull with 5 foot wingspan on those horns. And it's a grill that you grill right in the belly of it. And I'll be taking some pictures of that later today when I'm using it. And we're going to have him on as a guest next week because it's Cutlerville Grills is the name of the company. And he's been gracious enough to loan me one for
this
weekend.
Does he build them?
Yes. He distributes them.
Oh.
They're built for him, but he distributes them out of a little place in Cutlerville. It's pretty cool. It's on a trailer. It's got a live edge cherry table that's 8 foot long and a foot and a half wide mounted right beside the grill. And it's on a trailer. I'm going to hook up with it and drag it down there. And we're going to make some smoke out that bull's nose. So it should be a lot of fun, but I'll be doing that. So I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to make some Piggy Mac sliders for the boys. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get some patties of sausage, okay? And I'll use Sobey Meats and their Parkside Kielbasa. I'll patty that up because it's a real flavorful, garlicky sausage, right?
Real good.
Yeah. I'm going to patty that up, and then I'm going to bring a pan of my mac and cheese down there. And what we're going to do, we got Hawaiian rolls. I'm going to cook off the patties, right? And slider size, about the size of a tennis ball. They'll shrink down
so
a little bit.
So it fits on a king Hawaiian roll.
That's exactly right. And then I'm going to put some mac and cheese on top of that patty. And then I'm going to take one sweet pickle, put it on top of there, and then cover it with a little Dijon mustard. Slam that top on that, buddy. That is one good Sammy.
And Atkinson's approved.
Right, yeah.
No doubt.
Except for that bun and that mac and cheese. Yeah, maybe. But anyway, so that's going to be one of the items that we're going to come from the belly of the beast, if you will. And we're gonna cook it up. I got a lot of other stuff going on, too. But going to be a fun weekend. There'll be some beer drank. There will be some food eaten and a lot of stories told. And hopefully, any of you that are going to deer camp in the next 6 weeks, you'll have a similar experience, because I look forward to it. It's a highlight of my fall every year. You connect with guys you haven't seen
it's
in a
so
year,
fun.
Right? And it's just
and
a
that's
ton
why
of fun.
I want you to come up on the 22nd.
It's, yeah, right. Well, am I sleeping on the ground?
No, I'll have an air mattress for you.
Okay. Well, I have my own air mattress.
Okay.
But it is in canvas. It's
oh my goodness! And we have a beautiful brand new wood stove.
Oh
yeah, it's gonna
okay,
be
okay. I'll sleep on the other in case it catches fire.
It's gonna be toasty. You can sleep by the ice machine.
Oh yeah, right. I've done that before. I think I woke up with my sleeping bag frozen to my cot one night when I was with you. But anyway, that's all good too. Why is it you only remember the bad memories?
Right. When are you going to start remembering the good ones?
Yeah, we've eaten well and drank a little better.
So I got a crazy thought to do some like Brazilian style churrasco grilling at deer camp. So I want to take a deer camp, a deer doe. I want to shoot. The first doe is going to be processed right there.
Okay. Fresh meat. Nothing wrong with that.
And I'm going to make a churrasco rack out of black pipe.
Okay. So explain that. I don't even know what that is.
Basically, it's just, it's going to look like two A-frames with a bar going across the top. Now, in Brazil, they'll very often put a crank on it, and they'll raise grills, grates up and down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But the churrasco is the...
So this is a manual rotisserie?
The gauchos have these giant swords that they put on the meat. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse,
sure,
you'll see these giant swords. And I might even just have to resort to buying some long, cheap rotisserie skewers for the first year. Then I can put the clips on them to keep the meat in place. That's actually a great way to do it. I was thinking about getting my son-in-law to fab some at his metal shop, but they're so slammed that I hate to ask him this time of year. But basically, you put this teepee up, so you have this tall crossbar going across your fire, and I thought I could make it out of black pipe real easily.
Sure.
And then screw it together when I get
there.
I'd
clean it off.
And take it. Well, the fire will take care of that for me.
Right.
And the meat's not going to touch the bar. So you put your meat on this long sword, and then you poke it in the ground and lean it on it.
Oh, okay. I get it. So and it's beside the fire. It's not over the fire.
Yeah,
so
you're kind of over it a little bit, but you're making a teepee out of swords.
Right. So and so the meat itself is on a long skewer of sorts.
Yes.
Right. And you're going to lean it up against beside the fire.
Yep.
And you're going to turn it every once in a while so that
one of the things I want to do is I want to take a rib cage, the upper torso. I want to do a half of a front end of a deer with the ribs attached, and I want to roast the rib cage that way, just up leaned up against the fire.
Open up or with the cavity?
Opened up.
Okay.
Yep, so you have two halves.
Right.
And I'm going to probably have to fashion some sort of wire or something to keep it together, but you basically season your meat and then you oil it and you just lean it up there and you let it roast slowly over the smoke.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I know.
I'm thinking that the mechanism isn't perfected yet, but I'm liking the technique.
Yeah.
So
it's
maybe we better take two deer in case the first one falls in the dirt.
Well, I think if I have a couple of skewers or three or four, I think I can just bind them together with a little bit of wire. And they'll be just fine.
Yeah.
As long as somebody doesn't, you know, trip over it.
Right. Well, that's happened too. I mean, that's another one of those bad memories. I can't talk about that. Yeah.
Merle, we were close to your cabin when we had a real fun day once.
Right. Yep.
Had so much fun we couldn't go to your cabin.
Right. Yeah. God rest Big Brown. She ended up in the ditch that day, but we got her out and everybody's good. And it's still a hunting vehicle somewhere. So.
And I'm pretty sure they can't charge us with anything now.
Right. Yeah. Right. That was a very friendly farmer that pulled us out of the ditch. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But anyway, hey, coming up next, Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports is going to be joining us. And we're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff going on in the sporting goods world. And this is the time of year when you want to get down there, get there early, But you're going to want to get down there and check out all this stuff, and we're going to be talking all about that good stuff when we come back. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim since 59.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Conrad just reminded us, I should be remiss if I don't mention, happy Pulaski Days to our West Michigan Polish Heritage
listeners. Absolutely.
It's awesome. I'm going to be out of town, but I generally... I'm going to be a part of that, so I'm going to miss it this year, and I apologize. But Barbecue Bob, go have some Glumke Kapusta, you know, and I've all the others for me.
I've got a wedding. I got to head to the state capital, my favorite place.
Right. Yeah, I know.
So with us is Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports, a longtime sponsor and a very good friend. So we want to talk about some deer camp food first. What do you like to take for your deer camp? Because I know
it's always chili for one. Uh-huh. You know, chili's always got to be a mainstay. But I was thinking about your sword thing over top of the fire, and you know, to make it really a hunting camp thing, you should just take one of your arrows with a Grim Reaper broadhead and stick it through that thing, and you'd be all set.
Well, that's what he's hoping to do to get the dough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. As many as I lose.
Right, yeah. Well, Merle, that probably doesn't bother you too much that Bob loses arrows, because what do you got to do? You got to go buy more of them, right? And where do you go? You go to Allen Bob's to do that. But Merle, the chili that you mentioned. Are you a spicy chili guy? Are you a white chili, green? What is it?
I'm a spicy chili guy.
Yeah.
The Tex-Mex style.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I like the chicken chili too, you know, the white chili. But not as much as the spicy chili.
I like find them all to be good, but for deer camp, if somebody brings white chili, I'm thinking they're the camp cook.
Right?
Yeah. Right. You're not going in a tree. Right. You're going to be cleaning.
Right, yeah. Right. Sweep the tent out while I'm gone.
Enough
said.
Yeah.
So, Bob, you're a chili guy. You make all kinds of chili all the time. Break one down that you like best, because if you like spicy chili, you're going to hear one right now. I guarantee it. Because
that's up to you, totally. You know, right. But I keep dried peppers. I go to the Mexican market and buy the dried peppers.
Those ones that are hanging in a string,
they're very often in a bag.
Yeah.
Ancho and I can't even say them, but there's about four different types. I just look and I buy them, and they're all good.
Right.
But I'll take a variety of those, and sometimes I'll cook down fresh tomatoes like I just did. My neighbor gave me a ton of tomatoes, so I thought I'd just cook them up. And that's kind of a nice way to go. Blanch them, get the skin off them, and just cook the snot out of them. Put those peppers in when you're boiling them down and add water and just keep cooking and cooking. And then whatever you're going to throw in for meat, like I buy a half a cow at a time. Or a whole cow, and you end up with some.
Yep. Have you ever tried liver in your chili?
No, but there's a thought.
Let me help you out.
Liver pie?
Yeah, let me help you out there. There's a story behind that. We'll do that another time.
Yeah, but, see, he's starting to whine already.
I'm not whining. One of your best buddies calls you up and says, hey, I need a favor. I got a half a cow, and I had a guy back out. So will you come by the other quarter? Because I only need a quarter. My wife need, and I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Well, I got 16 pounds of liver. I'm thinking there is not a 64-pound liver in that cow. And I got all the liver. I didn't get a quarter of the liver.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
So you got the other three quarters of the liver.
I did. I got 16 pounds. And I'm so like, that tells, do the math. That's a 64-pound liver in that cow.
So
I'm
that tells not. Me Corey never got any.
I'm thinking that the boys might have just leaned on my pile a little bit and said, I don't want this. What? Here it came. It's all good. I'd have done the same thing. I just was on the wrong end of that transaction.
Okay.
Anyway, back to chili.
Yes. Thank you. God, thank you. Do you ever soak your beans or do you just use canned?
No, I just use canned.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're boiling down your tomato sauce like that, if you've soaked beans, it's a great time to cook them. I don't think they're any better. They're a little bit better, but canned and, you know, you get those beans in the bottle, the mixed beans and stuff. They're so good. And I would tell you right now, there's a lot of food shortages. So if you're thinking about rifle season only, go wipe out the bean section in your local market because don't say we didn't tell you so. You're going to have that's a great protein. They store forever in a can.
Yep.
Also, then I put celery, bacon. I fry up my meat in bacon grease. But, you know, I brought up the cow not to – hear you whine again.
I'm done
about
with that story now.
Oh, God.
These guys have probably heard it three times already. We've only been on here 2 months.
Yeah. So
I might be sore about it, but I'm over
it. People that are left.
Right.
Anyway, they, you know, I asked him to cube the round steak because what else are you going to do with it? You know?
Right.
And if you take that and just slice it up into cubes when you're before you
cube the cubes.
Cube the cubes. And then fry it, just brown it. Throw it in your chili and cook it a couple hours. It's a fantastic steak for chili.
Mm-hmm.
I also put beef bouillon, you know, the nice chef's choice.
Is that the pasty stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the liquid. But.
And all sorts of stuff, but there's a añejo, what's it called? Tagine?
Tagine.
T-A-J-I-N.
And that's kind of a citrusy salt.
It's a beautiful blend of seasonings.
Right.
And it is salty. But I always put some tahini in there. And maybe, it depends on the mood, you know. I like playing around with chili, you know that. But I always finish it off with a little bit of cornmeal. And I put that in my coffee grinder and I powderize it. And then I'll pour beer in with it in a bowl. And I'll mix it into a slurry, and I finished it off with beer and corn.
Corn.
Yep.
And then what does that do? Just thicken it up a little bit?
A little bit, but it sweetens it.
Oh, okay. The cornmeal does.
Takes the acidity down, because I'm not a big put sugar in a chili thing.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Merle, do you go to camp anywhere? Is it just locally, or do you got a tradition?
No, we don't do any camping anymore. But you know, we've got a cottage that we treat as a deer camp for the deer season, the bow season, and you know, we go to deer camp about 5-6 times a year. Actually.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it works out pretty good. Yeah.
So the answer is yes, he has a deer camp.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like that would be a pretty comfortable one too.
Yeah, it really is.
Hot and cold. Running water and furnace and stuff.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, right.
Uh-oh. I can hear the siren.
Yeah.
The ambulance is on the way.
It's all good.
Okay, how about stew? You ever make any stew at deer camp?
No.
No?
No, I haven't done any stew.
Do you like stew?
It's okay. Stew's okay.
But you, Job?
What do you make stew in, Bob?
What do you think?
I think maybe it's a Dutch oven, right?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Right. So this is kind of fun. And it's
Chop only mentions it now because he finally has one.
Right. And Barbecue Bob talked about them ad nauseum for years, and then he finally bought me one. But
I knew there was only one way to shut him up, and that was to buy him one. Now he loves it.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, he sings its virtues.
Yes. It's a Dutch oven is a big cast pot with a cast top, cast iron. So it heats very evenly, and you can cook things beside the fire, not necessarily in the fire with them. And it's a long, slow cook.
I think if you put a hook on your Churrasco rack.
Ooh, now you're asking a lot of that Churrasco rack.
You could hang your pot.
Yep, you could. But
they put a rim around the lid so you can actually put your coals on top as well. Mm-hmm. So what you're supposed to do, or a lot of people do, is they'll dig a little indent in the dirt by the fire. They'll scoop out some coals, put the coals in there, set the pot on there, and then put another scoop on the lid, And,
right, and you get heat coming from the
it's beautiful
under yeah. and over.
You can do a roast. You can if you take that camp deer, you can throw a shoulder in there, a neck, anything you want like that.
Sure.
Bring lots of onions and spices to deer camp.
Yeah.
Jeff, right. Yep. Take it away, buddy.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we are going to talk a little bit of equipment with Merle because 'tis the season to sharpen your quiver. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful.
Welcome back, Yardless, the Grillin' Guys. Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob's in rut, and his neck's all swelled up, and we're going to talk about some deer hunting equipment with our friend Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports. Take it away, Bob.
I've been learning how to buck wheeze. Have you ever done that?
I have. Yeah,
I just learned that. I never ever tried it before.
Yeah, it works really good when you got in an area where you got a lot of dominant bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can really get them going.
Well, sometimes you don't know that you've got them.
Yeah.
Have you got it perfected yet, Bob, or are you
still
working
on it? I'm going to find out.
Why don't you give us a little bit of that buck wheeze right now?
No, that's okay, Jopper.
Oh, man.
I'd rather put coffee in your chili.
Right. Well, we don't want our listeners to, have a deer jump out in front of them because they're driving down the road and they got a barbecue Bob Buckwheeze going out the window.
We have another lawsuit.
That's worse than the cat, man. Oh, God.
But anyway. Merle, please tell us last-minute hunting supplies that you have.
Well, you got to have your snort wheeze call.
Yeah. Do you use those?
I do use... I don't snort wheeze very much, but a grunt call I do use from time to time. I don't overdo it or anything because deer can really get wary of it if you're using them in the same spot all the time.
Yeah. I do my own wheeze that I think sounds better than the plastic ones.
Yeah.
But nothing sounds – because, when a doe's doing it, they're actually inhaling, right?
Right.
It's a sound that is magical. They're doing it in front of my house every night now out in the woods. I stop everything and I walk over to the window and I listen. It's like, who's bothering them?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And there's so many leaves up, you can't see.
Right.
That drives me nuts. Yeah.
So Merle, let's talk about calls, because that's kind of where we're going here. Are there a variety of them that you guys would have, and how does a guy know what one to get?
Well, it depends on the time of the season. So early season, usually grunt calls don't always work that good.
Right.
A lot of times grunt calls work better. A little, 3 weeks into the season towards, November, Halloween time, where you're getting a lot of tending grunts, so bucks chasing does, following does that are, using the tending grunt.
And that's
so,
a wonderful sound to hear in nature when you hear
it. You got
to
love
that
sound.
You know there's love in the air.
Yeah, you got to love that sound, and you know that a grunt call is going to work at that point. So, most of the does and fawns don't communicate that way. You'll hear, fawn balls and things like that. And there are can calls that work good for early season, especially if you want to shoot a doe early in the season. Those work real good.
And who doesn't?
That's how they communicate. Yeah, exactly. Right. You got to have that camp doe, right?
You got to have a little in the freezer.
So, those are the two main types of calls. And, then you also have rattling horns, and which also goes together with the grunt calls a lot in the later part of the season.
Have you ever had luck with rattling?
I have.
I have not.
Yes. I've rattled several bucks in, but it all depends in the area.
It's because it makes him wheeze.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It really depends on
You're on a roll, Joppy. You're on a roll.
I think it really depends on the buck dough ratio that you have, you know, and it's getting better in Michigan.
Yeah.
Typically, Michigan hasn't been a real good state to rattle in, just because the buck to dough ratio is not right. But you know, there are areas that it does work, and I've
so what you're saying then is it's more of a competitive thing than anything else. There, when you get a high competition area for bucks, then they're looking for a challenge.
Right.
Whereas right now there's so many doe, they're just like, yeah, go at it, buddy.
If you had, you know, a square mile where you had 50 deer in it, which is 50 deer per square mile is pretty good. That's a lot of deer, and you know, 80% of those were does.
Yeah.
You have what, 5 bucks in that square mile?
That's terrible.
You know, there's no competition.
The perfect
there.
Ratio supposed to be 2 doe at every buck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
and about. What do you think we're at?
I don't really know anymore. I don't know what the studies are, but I bet it's 5 to 1.
We're moving in a better direction.
We are. It definitely used to be pretty high, and that's why we always shot a lot of small bucks
right
in Michigan, and you know, a lot of young bucks. And we didn't have the mature deer in Michigan that we do now.
Yeah.
So it is getting better. So rattling can work. You know, it definitely works in some areas right now. It just doesn't work very good where I hunt right now.
I think Randy's dying to say something.
No, let's shift gears. So the scent industry was huge in the early 2000s, and you heard a lot about it and controversy and it works, it doesn't work. Where does that stand now? I mean, are guys coming in looking for different scents to and that's S-C-E-N-T-S, not pennies. But are they looking for that stuff in the store, or do you handle a lot of it, or it's not that popular anymore?
Well, definitely, yeah. You know, we carry some Nature's Best deer scent. It's from a local farm here, and you know, that's kind of what we found, is that a lot of the fresh local farms that produce deer urine work the best, and you know, it definitely does work good. But it, you know, there's a lot of people that don't use them in the proper way. And you know, scent can be one of those things where it either works and it can work magic at sometimes, and sometimes it just doesn't do anything.
So, I used Tink 69 when I had that property up by you. Yeah. And you know what I found out? Number one, it does work. And what else I found out is to put the lid on really good before you put it in your pocket.
Yeah, that's not a very
good
smell.
I got chased all the way back to the trailer.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's,
you know, threw your clothes out.
Yeah. You know, deer know, you know, how what fresh urine or estrus smells like, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so if you've got estrus that's bottled up and has been bottled up for quite a long time, and it gets that ammonia smell.
Oh.
The deer don't smell that ammonia smell generally in when they're, you know, a buck's tending a doe or on doe's trail. Well, it doesn't smell like ammonia.
Let's solve the
controversy. You don't want that.
Human urine. What effect do you think that has?
I don't think it has a whole lot of effect
on deer
at all.
All depends what you drank the night before.
Because right. I have whizzed out of my tree stand a million times and never noticed it scaring anything.
Right.
Other than other hunters.
I've heard several stories about that. I mean, in that the same thing. And actually have had deer come right up to it where they urinated on the ground.
Right.
And didn't bother them a bit. Right. So
now, there used to be a pasty scent that was called wall hanger.
No, that was in the bar.
Wall hanger.
Not familiar with that one.
That was made locally too, and I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but that stuff was magic.
Yeah.
So we've got Bob mentioned clothing, and I want to cover some of that in the next segment, because it's as the season changes and it goes from the beginning through the end of the season, we hit a big weather change. But with regard to scent, is there clothing still out there that is a scent preventer or a scent, I think Scent Lock was actually a brand at one time, but what does that industry look like now?
Well, there's two different types of scent clothing, you know, so you have your charcoal-based scent clothing, which should eliminate your scent from going in the air. The carbon will soak your scent up. And you also have clothing that keeps from, when you perspire into your clothing, that it doesn't allow it to form a bacteria, so it'll smell.
That's the copper then,
yeah,
right?
So you've got different type of clothing threads. And most of the clothing, the hunting clothing now, is made with some type of thread that resists bacteria buildup.
Okay.
You know, so that helps in you not smelling, you know. And to take a human scent totally away via carbon, you know, that's pretty tough to do, even though you can prevent some of it. But the carbon, you have gaps.
Is that the old scent lock? Is that carbon?
Yeah, that's carbon-based.
You got to throw it in the dryer to refresh it.
Right. You know, and it does, you know, everything has its place. You know, if you prevent it a little bit, you know, it can help you.
And if you use a scent, if you use a scent neutral soap to clean yourself.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. So in there, I'd be interested to learn about how that stuff actually works, because, you know, your head is exposed and that's where all the heat in your body is escaping. And I got to believe that it's, that's where a lot of the scent is. And you know, we all like to be cognizant of the wind, and you want to be looking into the wind, right? Not downwind.
Right.
And things like that. But there's still, to me, it'd be almost impossible to completely mask my entire scent. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't know. But
for you, it would be impossible.
Right, yeah, okay. So in the next segment, we'll pursue that a little bit more, and then we're also going to talk about a variety of type of tree stands and blinds that are available out there and what one might be the best for your situation. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
And now, back to the Grilling Guys Show.
Welcome back. We're listening to Grilling Guys, and we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob and I have a guest in the studio, Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports. And we were talking a little bit about scents and things on the last segment. We're gonna hit the trees, and let's talk about some tree stands, some blinds and things. And then, but Bob's got his finger up at me, his index finger, so that means he wants to talk. Here you go.
I just wanted to remind people to go to our website, thegrillinguys.com. And on the top corner, you'll see a headset. You can sign up for the podcast. It's free. We have lots of people downloading. And then, of course, our sponsors like Allen Bob's are over to the right. When you click on that, it'll generally take you to their current sale page. And it's a really nice way to find these great products that we talk about on the show. Yep. And we all want to support the businesses that are supporting our love, right? And we love grilling and we love hunting. And so we want to keep the money in our community.
Absolutely. So, Merle, let's talk a little bit about blinds and tree stands. Let's go up the tree first. What's new and what's exciting out there?
The newest and exciting is, it's not new for me, but I've been doing it for quite a while, is saddle hunting. You know, so, you know, it's really taken off. We carry two different types of saddles at the store. And with saddles, and you talk about, you know, we talked about, you know, a little bit about getting busted, getting winded and things like that. A lot of people, that happens to in a tree stand too, because they are exposed a little bit more. They're sitting out from the tree, so they look like a human in a tree, right?
Well, not only that, if they get busted there once, don't go back there for a day or two.
Right.
You have to have a bunch of different places to hunt.
Right.
So if you're going to buy another stand, I would strongly recommend you listen to this man, because he got up in his, did a demo for me in the store, and it was...
So I've not seen one. So explain, give me the theory behind these
things. Well, one of the things is you don't have to have multiple tree stands. So, you know, you shouldn't hunt your stands really more than once a week, in my opinion. You start patterning yourself to the deer, you know, and it gets worse and worse. So, you know, with a saddle, all you have to have is a way up the tree. With a saddle, it's similar to an arborist saddle where you're sitting in it, but you have to have something to put your feet against.
So you need some. So what you'd buy multiples of is climbing sticks.
Right.
That'd be climbing the best
sticks.
Way.
So I have, yeah, you know, roughly 8 sets of climbing sticks set right now. You know, so I prep the trees ahead of time. I put the climbing sticks up so I can jump from one to the other without the hassle of putting a tree stand up. You wear your saddle out. It's like an arborist saddle. You go up the tree. You put a tree rope around the tree, and you hang from the saddle.
So is it a saddle? Are you sitting on like a swing seat?
It looks like a diaper.
It's very similar to a swing seat.
Okay.
It looks similar to a diaper. There's one panel saddle that's made out of one cloth panel. Now these have webbing straps that are, you know, rated to, you know, 5,000 pounds and all that.
And they're pretty comfortable too, aren't they?
Oh yeah. There's two panel saddles too, but I typically will do all day sets in, you know, the end of October through the rut time. And I can sit in one of these saddles all day, you know.
So your legs aren't going to sleep. It's not. Is it between your legs or is it under your butt and behind your legs?
It's under your butt and kind of behind your legs. You can. The single paddle saddles have a little bit more tendency to ride up, just because of the way you are in the tree and how you're hanging from a 45 degree angle. They'll pull up on you. We also sell a two-panel saddle that's mostly a webbing strap that is more comfortable. So you can adjust that wherever you want to, down as far as you want on your legs, up as far as you want on your back on the top panel to make it comfortable for you. I will say that those are the most comfortable saddles that have been built.
But here's the cool thing. You can move around the tree because you don't know where the deer are going to always come from.
Well, absolutely. From behind. They do that all the time.
So you can, when you see them coming, you can very quietly just move with your feet, move around
so
the tree.
So are your feet on like the branch below pegs. You generally?
So,
or?
So you're in a tree stand, you're sitting on one side of the tree on a tree platform.
Right.
With a saddle, what you do is you put 4 tree steps around the tree where your feet are.
And you move around them.
So you're going to be roughly, your tethered strap is going to be around the tree about 5 feet above these tree steps. And then you can, just by shifting your weight, putting pressure on a foot, you'll swivel around the tree.
So the
back
best...
and forth. So you can do 360 around the tree. If you've got deer coming from behind you, and you're between the deer and the tree, and you know they're coming behind you, you can silently, no noise, shift to the other backside of the tree. Use
and
that
ladder
tree for
stands
a buffer.
Always have noise.
Right.
Right.
So the best
all
thing,
tree stands
the
have
best
noise.
Thing to say about it is go to Allen Bob's and let them demo it for you because you have a wonderful display. But you also have other types of blinds and a few things that people need to take in the trees. And I'm just thinking safety straps are one.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you're on a tree stand, you know, you got to have safety harness for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's multiple tree accessories. Whether you have a saddle or a tree stand, you're going to want a bow holder, you know. So.
Oh, good idea.
Bow or gun holder. You know, there's accessory straps that have multiple hooks on them. That's what I use. That's the easiest thing to use because then you don't have to screw in a bunch of different hooks and things like that to hold your backpack and things like that, because you do, in my opinion, need a backpack to hold your calls and different things. But, you know, there are accessory straps that you can use for that. They have multiple hooks. You can hang anything you want to on there. You got to have that backpack, like I said. You got to have a bow holder. And then whatever else you like, you know, so... You know, it all depends on how long you're going to stay out there and what you need out there. You know, so anything where you think you're going to be for a day and what you need for a day, you need those.
So with a saddle, climbing stands dying off?
Climbing stands aren't near as popular as they once were. Right. You're very limited to the tree that you can go up in. Usually that tree is bare. So when
telephone
you have
poles
no,
are great.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you're up there, you stick out. Yeah. You got no background. You got nothing to
you have nothing to cut for cover. Right. Exactly. You know, so lock-on stands are by far the most popular with hunters now, and saddles are strongly gaining ground on them.
So you said I wear the saddle into the tree. So does it double as my harness?
Yeah, you don't need a harness. That's the thing with a saddle. It is your harness. It is your safety
but
harness.
But you can still use a climbing strap when you're climbing on the sticks.
Right.
I'm.
It's got a lineman's harness with the saddle. So you as you're climbing up, you're locked in. As you get up there, you would attach your tree rope, your tether that's going to hold you up, hooked to your bridge on your harness. On your saddle, and you can almost flip upside down in these things, Jop, because they are so safe. you can't come out.
Two
of
things
them.
Made him nervous. You said tether.
right.
The last one I had was uncomfortable. I couldn't get my socks on. Yeah, but no. Anyway, I've never had one. But anyway, because it's just interesting to me that you can this new technology. Now you sit there all day and you're going to shoot out of this thing too,
right?
So you can position yourself, and because it's fabric, it doesn't make any noise.
It's more comfortable than sitting on a seat,
right?
Because they're metal seats,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The only if you think about tying a rope around a tree, then pulling on that rope and then doing a circle around the tree. That's as much noise as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right. So do you have to choose the tree that you've got no branches all the way around? Or
branches are better.
Branches are better.
Yeah, branches. You can get up in almost any tree that's safe and big enough for you to get up to hold your weight, right?
Right.
You know, and it can be on different angles. It can be, you know, you can have a tree go up a tree that goes off a 45-degree angle, then back straight up again. And if you can get up in it, you can hunt out of it with a saddle.
Nice.
You know, so that's the beautiful part
too?
Of it. We sell several different climbing sticks, the lightweight aluminum, three sections.
I was just
going to
ask you if you have any lightweights, because mine are old and heavy,
like me. Right. And, you know, the old.
There might be a correlation there.
The old and heavy we carry too, you know, and those aren't bad if you're putting them up and you're keeping them out all season.
Yeah.
You're doing several different trees.
Right.
But you want portability. You're going someplace new hunting.
But if you're going deep in, you don't
want
to carry
something
50
light.
Pounds extra.
Yeah, you can do a four-section lightweight climbing stick and get up there 20 feet. With a saddle, you don't have to get near as high without, because you can conceal yourself.
So. Merle Shoemaker, Alan Bob Sports, Sportsman, Serving Sportsman. I said it right this time.
68th Street, 131, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. If you've not been there, this is an incredible place. You got to get down there.
Well, also see Millbrook Tack. Don't forget the horse gals, because if you're a single bow hunter or a hunter, you need to go in there, because let me tell you, they got some fine little fillies and they're all single down there. And there's cowgirls with cowgirls.
I don't know
boots.
About that, Bob. You don't need to be selling them out. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Merle, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Barbecue Bob, we're going to go have a little fun. And if you get up in the tree, be safe. We'll talk with you next week.